With the song, let us fill our hearts, the place we are sitting, the family we are with. Take a breath or a few to help yourself relax again into this gathering, into this space, into this energy and frequency and vibration that we already established, that's feeling that comes and wells in us from our soul, connecting deeper with more preciousness and honor for ourselves, for our sacredness, for our benevolence, for our state of peace, our state of consciousness, opening to greater awareness and greater love for who we really are. Breathe and allow yourself to love and open up even more in this truly sacred land, ancient land that is the living of their ancestors for thousands of years. Maybe they don't go and practice the ancient ceremonies and everything they have done in ancient times anymore, but the energy is here, and their heart and their love and their connection is here. And you can feel it through the living humans, living souls. Everywhere you go here, their sweetness, their smiles, their joy, their graciousness and willing to serve. And you reflect on that and see yourself in that when you are here in this land and how that affects you. What honor you have for yourself, a service for yourself, making the journey here, seeing the tombs and the pyramids, seeing what it took to build and create and engineer, the ingenuity and the wisdom that it took to create these beautiful and astonishing architectures and art and writings and sculptures, all done from a place of love, truly, a place of love for the source that we all come from, and we're all connected. What was thousands of years ago is still living now, right now, in this space, in this sacred circle. They're all here. The wisdom is here, the energies are here, living and breathing from the ethers, from the field, beyond the mind, beyond the body. You can truly allow yourself to open and feel when you quiet the thoughts that it's all here, talking to you, breathe and open up even more. Open up even more.
I wish to review today where we walked across the sands of the desert in Egypt. It became very easy to see how layers of sand can deposit and build upon one another until you have a temple that is now buried in the sand. And if you use the analogy of a temple of light being buried in sand, we could say the same for the divine spark that is within you. When we have had lifetimes that may have had betrayal, when we've had lifetimes where we rejected for showing our light, when we've had experiences that scarred us, all of those layers are like sand depositing onto our temple of light. And yet we have the ability to allow those sands to blow away, to fall away, to recalibrate who we think we are. And if you are given that choice right now, what do you wish to recalibrate about who you think that you are? What are the things you no longer wish to carry that create a grain of sand in your shoe? It is within your ability to release that grain of sand within your shoe. And this is the promise from Kryon, that when you do, that particular grain that came into your shoe will never come in again. Because that is how we have the new energy on the planet now, where your personal epiphanies, your awakening to a grander truth, is yours to claim from here on in. And the more of us that release the grains of sand covering our temple of light, the more light is transmitted across the planet, allowing others to do the same. And so this really is a day of illumination, if you choose to see it that way.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon of Magnetic Service. Today's channel will be controversial. I knew you would like that. And I'm going to call it one-dimensional history. I would like to take you back in time for a moment not too long ago, where my partner, the man in the chair, found himself in a faraway place called Bolivia. And he was with a group much like this one, somewhat smaller, in an architectural marvel for its day, on a hilltop, an archaeological site of tremendous importance called Tiwanaku. And he listened to the guides as they told of the history of what they had found in the architecture and what was there and what they had managed to uncover. A lot like here, only didn't have the length of time of study, but it certainly had the distance in years. For Tiwanaku is said to be, and carbon dated, as 3,000 years old. And they had a mystery on their hands. They had dug down into the dirt, and they had discovered something which made no sense whatsoever. Artifacts that should not have been there, along with artifacts that also shouldn't have been there of another age. And they were very confused because they saw them there in the same plain of dirt. Now, in archaeology, there is an unstated word, I would say, of law that the further down you go, the older things you discover. And so they had found things that did not belong together in one spot. And that became one of the greatest mysteries of Tiwanaku. My partner sat down to channel, and to the horror of the guides, he explained why. Because it wasn't their history, and they didn't like it. And what I said at that time, in that channel, and I say it again today, is that many historians do not give credit to the ones that came before them also being historians. And the ones that came before them having enough intellect to build a museum. They had just discovered a museum. A museum, perhaps, that was 2,000 years old, that had a collection of artifacts from their ancestors and perhaps the ones before. One-dimensional history does not give credit to the ancients to be as sophisticated as you are, to have their own museums, perhaps to care about their ancestors. It's a great land here. There's many things that hide here. There are many mysteries. But there is still the thought that you have the sophistication of being interested in your past, and they didn't. You don't look for their museums or perhaps give them credit for having the intellect to do certain kinds of things that you do as well. It might change the way you think. Imagine for a moment that the Egyptians of a certain time will dig down in the sand and find something that was 800 years old. That's a lot of years. Something that their ancestors had built. Something amazing. And they did what you did. They uncovered it. But what they did, perhaps, is something very Egyptian. They might have repurposed it. They might have gone in and inscribed things from their age that didn't occur in what they were studying of that age, creating a quandary, a mystery. How did these things get together? Historians today, in their studies, don't really consider that the ancient Egyptians had layers, perhaps that were built and covered and rediscovered 800, 900 years later. In a 3,000-year history of the Middle, the Old, and the New Egypt, that happened maybe two or three times. What if some of the things that you see as marvelous and just recently discovered in the last 100 years have been uncovered two or three times by others with inscriptions or perhaps even repurposing? Which would explain why some things are there that shouldn't be there. It's not really thought of. I'm going to give you a lot of controversial what-ifs at the moment. I have never and will never tell the secrets of a civilization. It is always for you to uncover, just like you uncover that which is in your subconscious, that which hides from you, that might display the glory of God. The whole entire reason that I am here giving these kinds of messages is for your spiritual growth. I want to give some what-ifs to you. Based upon what you've seen today and what's happened in this great land, you limit the ancients in their intellect. You hobble them in your perception of who you are and they must have been. What if you're looking at a society that was really advanced, but you haven't found evidence of these things? And you expect you would have, or you might have seen it on the walls, written down, where everything else was written down. So let me give you a big what if. Where did the Egyptians get the plans for their temples? And what is supposed to be in their temples? Here's the answers, as would be given to you by the guides. The Egyptians got their plans from God, where God lives. And they built their temples for God to live in all of them. And they all looked the same, and they were all purposed the same. That was a plan of God, from God. Divine. What do you find in Egypt that has lasted and lasted? And the answer, temples and tombs. Temples and tombs. Now here is a what if. What if they were smart? If they indeed had the 12 base math that my partner describes, that means they were ahead of you. Do you think for a moment that they would have missed, completely missed in 3,000 years, the elements in the dynamics of a simple pulley system? You don't give them credit for that. Lifting mechanisms that you have today, where three or four men with a single rope can lift tons. That's a pulley system. Do you think that they, with 12 base math, and with the intellect they had and the mathematics that grows from that and exposes itself, would have missed hydraulics? Now you say, well, wait a minute. You have to have electricity. No, you don't. You need something that is of a viscosity that will pump and be flexible. Have you ever heard of oil? Do you think they had any? How about the viscosity of mud? Do you think they had any? There are some mysteries. Ask an Egyptologist, have they ever opened a sarcophagus and found a strange, gooey substance on the coffin? Why don't you find it? That happens occasionally when hydraulics leak, when you're putting the lid on. I want you to think about these things. Now, an Egyptologist will say, no, because we never found one picture of it. We never found one tool. It was missing, completely missing. Now, here's another sophisticated, one-dimensional history question. Look for the absence of things to tell a story, not just what you find, what you don't find. Where are the plans to the pyramids? With all their sophistication, the pyramids were tombs. What if, dear ones, the plans given by God feature a sacredness that was then expanded into the tools they made to build them. Sacred in a way that they never showed them. They were not for the common people. They were for the architects. They were kept secret. They were used, of course, in so many places where they were viewed, but the common people could not use them. That they were disposed of so that no one could have them because they were sacred. You've never seen them pictured anywhere. You've never found anything. And yet you have all of the evidence that they used them. One-dimensional history. And it's always a mystery. Always a mystery. What if they had these kinds of things, and they never are going to show them to you? But you're going to see everything they built with those very sacred tools given by God. Is that too much of a stretch of your imagination, knowing how much the afterlife meant to them, how much the temples where God lives meant to them? Perhaps they were never supposed to reveal how they did it. But what if how they did it was the same way you do it today? Hydraulics, pulleys, intelligence. Dear ones, there's more here than meets the eye. And I want to close this channel by saying I would like to start a series when we next meet that will reveal itself in several channels. And it's be called Discovering Self. And it's going to be metaphoric for the land that you're in. I am crying in love with humanity, asking you to think out of the box of your own perception. And so it is.